Welcome back to Gwen and Chris, kicking off hour number two. That includes a daily gambit here shortly. Again, gamble responsible. Nothing's a sure thing. But you like the Dodgers' chances today against Patrick Corbin. I mentioned this in the last half hour. He's got to be the most overpaid player, not only in baseball. He might be the most overpaid athlete in sports.
That's a statement.
It is.
But he's in the running.
Well, the reason I think he's in the running is because they keep letting him play. Like, there's probably some athlete somewhere who's injured collecting big-time money, right? And they're like Ben Simmons type thing.
Yes.
So those guys are ridiculously overpaid, but they're hurt, or they're at least faking like they're hurt.
Yeah.
Patrick Corbin, as Manny Machado likes to say, this guy posts.
Mm-hmm.
He's just horrible. Like 9-16, 5.82. 2 years ago, 6-19, 6.31. Last year, 10-15, 5.20. He's led the league in losses three consecutive years, and he's 0-3, 8.06 this year. Like, how can you keep running him out there? Like, that's what I don't get. That's what I don't get.
I think maybe.
And he's making $35 million, which is like the sixth highest per year salary in all of baseball.
Maybe they're thinking, we'll make him work for his money, because if not, we're just going to be paying him for doing nothing.
But it's costing the Nationals any chance they have of winning these games.
That's true.
So anyway, the reason I bring him up, he's facing the Dodgers tonight, and I could use a little help. Padres take on the Rockies, of course. Ryan Feltner. Probably the first time many of us have heard of him. Young right-hander. Has pretty good stuff. He's got 26 strikeouts already this year. He'll take on Michael King. Sam Levitt is quickly preparing the pregame show as we speak, sitting just outside our studio walls. One last thing, Scray, before we get to the Daily Gambit. It has to do with Thursday night.
Dun,
I
dun,
want
dun,
everybody
dun.
There.
Dun,
do,
dun,
not,
dun.
Do not leave us hanging. All right? Do not leave Scraby and I hanging out to dry. And Braden Soprano.
Yeah.
All three of us. I mean, we've been staying up late for the last month doing our due diligence and preparing for the 2024 National Football League Draft. And we'll have the show for you on Thursday night from 5 to 9 p.m. following Padre Baseball. So, please tune in on your way home. You'll get all the picks. We'll take you right to the podium in Detroit for all of the selections. Braden and Scraby will break down all the picks because they're the two knowledgeable guys on the show.
What are you going to do, Chris?
I'll make fun of the picks,
okay.
Mostly. But I will kind of host the show, and we'll have some fun on Thursday night.
It will
make
be fun.
Sure you're with us. Here's a late update for you. Draft Knicks, Bears general manager Ryan Poles announced today that the Chicago Bears know who they're going to select with the number one overall pick.
Thanks.
You want to know why I love the draft? It's stuff like this. Like, yeah, we know who we're going to select, but we're not going to tell anybody until Thursday night. You'll all have to wait and see.
Just, the thing is,
it's
so
the worst, but it's the worst kept secret, like, ever.
Yeah.
Right? We all know. Either they draft Caleb Williams, or they are the stupidest organization in sports.
They traded away their quarterback already.
Exactly.
They don't have a quarterback.
Right. So they either take Caleb Williams, or they might as well just have the commissioner come up to the podium and go, in lieu of the first pick in this year's 2024 NFL draft, I'm here to announce that the Chicago Bears are just flat out stupid. Because they have selected, you know, some punter from Virginia Commonwealth for the number one pick.
I was trying to play Goodell. Remember when we did the draft during the COVID years?
I do.
Tagovailoa.
Oh, boy.
And that was from
his basement. He struggled. That's right.
Roger Goodell was literally
in his basement announcing the picks that year. Anyway, we'll have the draft show Thursday night following Padre Baseball. Circle it on the calendar.
One thing before we get into the Daily Gambit, you're talking about Patrick Corbin being a terrible thing for the Nationals. The Boz says Hosmer's even worse. He's not even playing and he's getting paid by the Padres.
Okay, but that's true. Hosmer's worse, but and so's Ben Simmons. What I'm saying about Patrick Corbin, he's the worst in terms of guys that are actually still playing. Like, he performs the worst, and yet he still plays.
I guess we got to give him credit, though, that he's still in the league, because Strasburg's not in the league anymore.
Well, Strasburg's arm is broken.
Patrick Corbin only
pitches like his arm is broken. All right, hit me with a Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Uh-oh. Daily Gambit will have to hold on for a second. We did mention the Padre lineup is out, and we have a Graham Pauly sighting. The young left-handed hitter will be in the DH spot batting eighth tonight. That moves Jerickson Profar back out to left field, and Jose Azokar hits the bench. Otherwise, the line is pretty much the same as last night. Bogarts, Tatis, Cronenworth, Profar, Kim, Campusano, Merrill, Pauly, and Tyler Wade gets the start against a right-handed pitcher.
Well, he did.
For Colorado.
Drive in the winning run, so.
He did. Well, it's a righty-lefty thing. If they had a lefty on the mound, then
Egi.
Egi, your guy, Egi, my guy, Egi, would be starting.
We need to talk about Graham Pauly at some point.
What do you got?
Well, at some point.
At some point, you don't like his batting average. It's
no,
April.
No. No, it's either because I went outside angry, and I was talking to Sam Levitt and Adam, and Sam had a really good point that if they're going to keep him up with the team, he should be getting playing time because they need to see what he has left, or not left, but what he can do. And it's either that or he goes to AAA and he plays every day and he hits every day. So I'm not sure what the plan is.
Well, the plan is for Graham Pauly to, you know, figure it out. He's 2-for-17. The last Padre that I remember that got about, you know, not enough at bats, and then the Padres gave up on him and traded him, was Anthony Rizzo. Mm. That's the last guy. And the next thing I noticed, Rizzo was holding up a World Series trophy.
Yeah.
17 at bats is not enough to analyze anybody.
Totally.
All right.
And I guess if there is a team that you're going to put out Graham Pauly against, is going to be the Rockies.
Well, he's on the roster, so let's play.
All right.
You know, that's all. That's always been my thing. He's on the roster, let's play.
Play ball.
He'll be in there tonight.
All right, let's get
into
it.
What do you got from last night?
Everybody, please gamble responsibly. The Nuggets were 7-point favorites over the Lakers last night. Chris chose the Lakers. I chose the Nuggies. Nuggets did win, but they only won by 2, 101-99. So you win that one. Now, New York Knicks and Philadelphia 76ers, this bet was total number of points in each game, right?
Right.
Okay, so I didn't do the math on this.
Well, Sixers realizing. And Knicks scored more than the Magic and Cavs.
All right, so then that means I win.
You won.
All right.
Right, the Knicks game was crazy because Philadelphia was up by 5 with 30 seconds to go, and the Knicks went on an 8-0 run fueled by a controversial call or two to win that game 104-101.
I feel like officiating has never... Well, no, I can't say that. I feel like officiating is coming up a lot lately.
It's never seemed like it's worse, but it's only because there is just so much attention to play to it.
It's the same
as it always was. It's just that we used to accept the call and move on. Now everything is plitter for 5 weeks.
And we need to debate whether or not they need replay for ejections.
And you know, right. And Tony's right about the Laker thing. I mean, saying that wasn't a foul on Michael Porter because it was marginal, he hit D'Angelo Russell in the face.
It's a foul.
And then they challenged it, and they took the foul away.
That's even crazier.
It wasn't that they saw it and didn't call it. They saw it and took the foul away. I mean, you know, the Lakers have a gripe, and LeBron said, you know, why have the replay? He's right. I mean, if you're going to do stupid stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely. Sorry. All right, so the next one was Joel Embiid over under 30.5 points. Both of us went under. Both of us were wrong. He had 34 points, but he looks like he's hurting. He really does.
He hasn't been the dominant Embiid yet, and they need him to be it to win that series.
Rockies Padres total score over under 10.5 runs. We both went under, and we were correct. It was 3-1, so 4 runs.
That's the kind of bet that if you actually put real money on it,
you won't win.
And, well, you either won't win, but you'll never win that easy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that game was never a threat to go over. Right? The 10 runs.
Oh, never. Never.
Never, ever.
It was one... the bottom of the eighth came around, I think, in like an hour and a half.
Yeah. It was just out all night long.
The next one would be Dylan Cease over under 7.5 strikeouts. Both of us went over. Both of us were right. He made us look good by getting 8 strikeouts.
Atta boy, Dylan.
And the Edmonton Oilers -1.5 on the puck line. You chose the Kings. I chose Edmonton. Edmonton won 7-4.
Yeah, bad start for the Kings. They're down 1-0 in that series.
All right, real quick, this hour on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by The Farmer's Dog. Fresh, human-grade dog food, from a healthier weight to more energy. When you switch your dog's food to The Farmer's Dog, the effects can feel magical. What sorcery is this, they say? None at all, Chris. It's just real food made
just
for the health
food.
Of dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/radio.
I think it's funny, and I'm not... I'm a fan of the Farmer's Dog and all of these dog foods because we have a dog. You have a dog.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that people go out of their way to buy real dog food for their dogs just because of this. Dogs will eat anything. Like, you don't have to feed them good, bad, healthy, unhealthy, indifferent, fat, carbs, protein, salad. Dogs don't seem to care. The humans care.
Yes.
But the dogs don't care.
I care, and I don't feed him the Farmer's Dog, but I do pay a little bit extra for his food because of
his
sensitive
tummy. Yes, we do
the
same thing. We do the same thing, but our dog does not care how much we spend on that food.
No.
She is chowing down anything that gets near her.
How many cups does Kylie get?
She gets one cube a night.
A cube?
Well, it comes in a kind of a rectangular cube format.
All right, good for her.
She gets one a night, but she eats plenty during the day.
But go to thefarmersdog.com/radio for that. All right, my parlay for tonight, and I was going to make it all Padres, but I can't because it wouldn't let me. But I'm going to have Xander Bogaerts with at least a double. So the actual bet is over a half a double.
So a triple won't do?
A triple will not do.
Okay.
Michael King over 16.5 outs. So he needs to go 5 2/3 to complete that bet.
Okay.
And then Mookie Betts, because we've been talking about Patrick Corbin, I'm going to say Mookie Betts is over 0.5 doubles.
So he also gets a double.
Yes, just because he's hot hitting right now and he probably can do it.
Seems like a real sucker bet tonight.
Which one?
Both of them. You're counting on a double. Those are tough to count on.
No, that is true.
Those are tough to count on. Hope this pays well. What does it pay you?
Plus, let me look on my phone real quick because I did it. Plus 382.
Yeah, I'll tell you what it's actually going to pay.
Zero?
Pretty much.
Negative whatever.
That's what all parlays pay when you don't hit them.
All right.
Who scores more points tonight? You're 4-2. I'm 3-3. Who scores more tonight? The T-Wolves, Anthony Edwards, or the Suns, Kevin Durant. They go head-to-head in Game 2 at Minnesota. Edwards had a sensational Game 1, but Durant scored a ton of points, too. Who scores more tonight, Scrib? You're in the lead, so you go first.
Real quick, Dan says his dog buries pizza crust like a bone. I think that's hilarious.
Smart move.
That's hilarious.
Go back when you're hungry.
Yeah. I'm a real big fan of Anthony Edwards. I'm going to go with him.
Here's why you like Anthony Edwards.
Because of the movie?
Yep. Because of that movie that he was in.
And he was Kermit.
He was so good in that movie.
He was really good. I hated him in
that
movie.
Right. He was a great villain.
He was a great villain.
For a guy that's just really a basketball player.
And honestly, I haven't heard enough about Kevin Durant this year. I've heard way more about Anthony Edwards. I know Kevin Durant gets hurt, but that's why I'm choosing Anthony Edwards.
Edwards scored 33 in Game 1. Durant had 31. I'll take Durant tonight.
Durantula.
Although the guy that needs to get going for Phoenix is Devin Booker. They need one of his big nights. Dallas could use a big night tonight from Luka Doncic. They're at the Clippers. Game 1 went to L.A. Kawhi Leonard is questionable tonight. Still questionable. Doncic over under 33.5 points. And I say he gets it.
I was thinking the same thing. Playoff basketball.
He's heaving him tonight.
Yeah, I'm going to go over as well.
Going to go over. Okay. Clippers are favored by 1.5 in that game. Who do you like?
Clippers by 1.5. I'm going to go with the Clippers.
I'm going to go with the Clippers, too. I don't know why. There's most of the, quote, experts think Dallas is going to win this series. I guess I'm not an expert. I think the Clippers are going to win this series. And tonight will go a long way towards helping them do that. One other NBA game tonight, Indiana at Milwaukee. Two high-scoring teams over under 223 points.
Ooh, wow.
Now, the Bucks and the Pacers played a game during the regular season.
Oh, we bet on it.
And I it's going to take me a second to find it. But the final score of the game was just insane.
Wasn't it like 140 to something, 138?
Maybe even higher than that. I think they combined for 275 or 80 points.
I do remember this happening.
Though. Yeah. But they didn't combine for that many in game one. Game one, 205 points was the total.
Lockdown.
Lockdown. Do they do it again tonight in game two? No way. Game two, things ease up a little bit. Giannis, is he going to play tonight? That's another question.
So you're going to go over?
I'll go over. 223.
I'm going to go under.
You'll say under.
Yes.
San Diego at Colorado. It's baseball.
USD at Colorado.
No, this is San Diego at Colorado. Padres at Rockies.
I just didn't take it.
Yes,
for what
we
it's
never
worth.
Call them San Diego.
No.
They're starting to get the hint that the Rockies can't score anymore, so the over under comes down tonight to 9.5 runs. What do you like here? Instead of 10.5 as it was last night.
I think they open it up tonight, the Padres do.
Over.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing against Michael King, but Colorado, just at Colorado, cannot be this bad forever. They've got to get 3 or 4 runs, which means the Padres need 5 or 6. So I'll take the Padres. I'll take over. And one more, one of the better young pitchers in baseball, pitching for one of the surprise teams, Paul Blackburn, Oakland Athletics, at Yankee Stadium tonight, 4.5 strikeouts. He's pretty good. He's going to do that. The Yankees, even though they're 15-8, they've already been shut out 4 times this year,
mm-hmm.
including yesterday. What do you think about Blackburn's chances, Scrabe? Over, under 4.5
Ks. I like
Ks.
This A's team.
Yeah. So far, they've been kind of fun.
I'm going to say he goes over.
Over. I got one last one here. This is for you local baseball people. And this is USD Baseball.
Okay.
Funny you should have mentioned it. Tonight, the Toreros at 26-12, which is very, very good, by the way. Congrats, Brock Unriched and their team. 26-12, hosting San Diego State. Aztecs, I don't even want to say their
record. It's been tough.
It's been a tough year for the Aztecs. Crosstown rivalry, though, baseball. You throw the records out the window.
Yes, you do.
You like the Aztecs or the Toreros? There's no spread. It's just winner take all.
I'm going to go Toreros.
You're going to take the Toreros.
Are you going to take your Aztecs?
I got to take my own team.
Okay.
I don't feel good about it.
By the way, the NFL, NBA has released their reports on some of these things, these fouls that they didn't call, that they did
call.
And
what are they saying? They're all wrong?
Well, in the Sixers and the Knicks game, they're saying that Josh Hart fouled Tyrese Maxey on the inbounds. Jalen Brunson pulls on Maxey's jersey and should have been called. Nick Nurse should have also gotten a timeout is what they're saying for that one.
Well, you know, the NBA wants to be, what's the word, transparent? But being transparent and admitting that your referee screwed up every game.
It's called a last 2-minute report.
Yeah. It's not a great look for you. I hate to tell you. I know you're being transparent. It'd be better if we just went on to the next game. But we can't do that anymore. There's too many eyeballs on
these things.
I get
why you're saying it, but I give them credit because they're saying, yes, we made a mistake, which is...
I know
what we've been saying,
but
that people make mistakes.
And that's what LeBron's saying. Okay, you're making mistakes. You're admitting you're making mistakes. So you have replay to supposedly correct the mistakes.
Good point.
Why are we not doing that?
No, that's a legit question.
That's his legit question. Traffic is coming up right now. Happy Passover to everybody so inclined. Last night and tonight,
I'm told.
Yes, I'm told. I don't keep track. I don't get that stuff on my calendar. You know, a lot of people have those little notes.
Yeah.
Today is Good Friday. Today is
Has Boxing
terrific
Day.
Thursday.
Terrific Thursday.
Do you know what Boxing Day actually is? Do you even know what it is? It's the day after Christmas in Canada.
Yes.
It's called Boxing Day. I always wondered as a kid, what is Boxing Day? What do they do? They don't box. It's not like
boxes,
a sport.
Boxes, right? It's like,
yes, they put boxes of leftover food and toys out for underprivileged people to take them.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a nice gesture.
It is.
By the Canadian folks.
I thought it was
But Boxing Day, I thought, everybody just, drop your gloves in the middle of the ring and away we went.
Everybody just has to box that day.
Never understood what Boxing Day is until I found out it's actually quite a nice thing. 3:27 is the time. Chrisello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gunn Jr. rejoins us shortly for the Big Five. Couple of notes involving San Diego or people with San Diego ties. One, Lindy Ruff, R-U-F-F, formerly a captain for the old San Diego Gulls back in the day. Got to know Lindy very well when he played here many years ago. He was a great NHL player with the Buffalo Sabres. Then he was a longtime coach with the Sabres. Then he was fired about 4 years ago. And he's being rehired by the Buffalo Sabres. They're bringing him back for a second bite at the apple.
How
interesting. Yes, I don't know how that all works.
Change in GM?
I don't know the entire history of the Buffalo Sabres too well,
strange.
I must tell you.
That is strange.
But he was fired quite a while ago. Like I said, it was 4 years ago. He had been the coach of the New Jersey Devils. Was fired there. He also had 4 seasons with the Dallas Stars. Anyway, he was a coach of the year in 2006. Lindy Ruff's had quite a career since moving on from San Diego. And he's re-upping with the Buffalo Sabres. Good luck to him. Also good luck to WNBA star Kelsey Plum, San Diegan. 29 years of age, she and New York Giants tight end Darren Waller today filed for divorce. So never, good news.
No.
I think people in the 30-mile zone world in which we live in tend to celebrate this stuff for some reason. Hey, did you hear? Did you know? Did you see? What happened? I heard this. I heard that. We kind of forget that it's just two people whose, marriage is ending.
She kind of made it cryptic, though.
She did.
Yeah, let me read. What
part was cryptic? She said devastated.
No. The part where, hold on, I got to pull this up. I'm devastated. I walked through fire for that man, but now I see it's time to go. God has given me an incredible life, and I'm truly so grateful for the profound love for my family. One day I'll share my story. Today is not that day. Thank you for the grace to process my pain, to forgive and move forward. Today and every day, I will continue to choose joy. Part that's cryptic to me is, I walked through fire for that man, but now I see it's time to go.
Right. So she seems to be indicating that something happened on his side that changed her feelings for him.
That's tough. And you know what? Honestly, she doesn't even really need to put that out there, but people are going to ask her until she does.
Right. Kelsey Plum, of course, unfortunately, was not as famous as she should have been when she was here in San Diego playing high school basketball at La Jolla Country Day. She then went on to the University of Washington and led her team to the Final Four. I mean, she's quite
the leading scorer, Diego area
athlete. She was the all-time leading scorer in
college
basketball history. Caitlin Clark made her famous again by passing her in the record books. Plum is also a 2-time WNBA champ.
Yeah, let's not leave that out.
So.
It's tough, too, because I know that they both, I'm not speculating, but they both played their professional sports in the same city in Las Vegas. And then Darren Waller either got traded or he signed with the Giants.
I think he went to the Giants, yeah. Sports can be a tough gig.
I mean, Skip, I think it's known that Skip Schumacher Shoemaker, I can't remember which one it is, but
right.
His family's here and he's managing in Florida.
Yeah, very tough, very difficult. Sports can make it very difficult on the real lives, the real world lives.
Mm-hmm.
All right, coming up, Big Five. Tony rejoins. Fun, scraby stuff that we will break down next. Welcome back to the program. 3:37 is the time. We got a round of Chris vs. the Fans coming up at the top of the hour. Play some trivia for you. Give you a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas. But here's a little early trivia for you, Scrabe. Don't look this up.
Okay.
Top of your head. Which team has the best record in all of Major League Baseball right now?
I know this.
Is
it the Guardians?
It is.
That's what I thought.
The Guardians, of all people. 16-6. They are home to the Red Sox today. No score, top of the third inning. Guardians not only have the best record, they have a plus 52 run differential, best in baseball.
Wow.
So a really nice start for Cleveland.
Yeah, that is a nice start.
Who's the manager of the Guardians?
Oh, gosh. Vogt.
Steven Vogt.
Yes.
Well done.
Thank you. I remember because I was like, how does this guy get a managerial job when there's all these other guys out there?
Cleveland's off to its best start in 25 years. 16-6. Let's check traffic. Then all the other stuff going on in sports on this busy Tuesday with today's Big Five.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I got to say, guys, we got to go a little bit quicker in today's Big Five, but those were some great answers yesterday.
Scraby almost had to play the he almost had to play the second part of it on the pregame show yesterday.
I wasn't usually I'm very good at watching the timer. I wasn't watching the timer because I was so and I'm so much enjoying
so
the
compelling.
Conversation.
Yes.
And then I look back and it was like, "Hey, you just did that segment in a quick 26 minutes."
Well, hey. You know, so, Sam Levitt's pregame show has to wait.
Minutes.
That's all. Yeah.
All right. I get it. Let's just not go 26 minutes today.
Number five.
I know I'm the guy who's ruining all the fun.
Start talking already.
Oh, you're right. I am wasting time. What am I doing? Can we just take a second real quick, though, to say that Dylan Cease is pretty awesome? Because he's pretty awesome.
Well, I think we've mentioned that a few times today, but okay. We can take another second if you'd like.
Okay, thank you. He proved that last night in more ways than one in Denver. The right-hander delivered his fourth straight start of six innings or more and two runs or fewer. And last night he featured seven innings of one-hit ball, no walks, and eight strikeouts. And it was actually historic. No one had ever pitched that many innings with one or no hits and no walks at Coors Field. So that's a cool little feat to have for him. Tony, is Dylan Cease hands down the number one pitcher for the Padres?
Hands down right now, yeah. I'd say yeah right now. I don't know if it's hands down, though, because Michael King's been pretty good, too. But I would still give the nod to Dylan Cease. Right now, he's pitching the best of the five starters. And, yeah, that's a pretty simple one.
All right. Chris?
Well, he's number one in terms of what he's doing, but I'll ask you this in return.
Uh-oh.
If the National League playoffs were going to start tomorrow, who would the Padres use?
I say
they would use Yu Darvish.
Oh.
I mean, based on the fact that he's still their, you know, their ace. So I'm not sure what you're asking. If you're asking if he's the best pitcher, he's been the best for certain. But if he's the new number one slotted guy in the rotation, I don't think he's quite earned that yet in just April.
I should have thought ahead to you completely ripping
what,
apart.
Thinking through your question?
I should have thought ahead to that.
Yeah, my apologies for trying to put some
literally.
Trying to put some thought into it.
Okay. All right.
Now you're flummoxed.
I wasn't going to ask whether or not he's like the number
one
guy.
Well, I didn't know what you meant.
Now.
I honestly didn't know which you were going for.
Because when you said, who would you have start a playoff game today? I think I'm having Dylan Cease start that game.
Yeah, I don't think they would. Tony, what do you think? I mean, if everybody was healthy and it was, you know, start of a new series.
And they were all pitching the way they're pitching.
Same exact stuff.
Yeah, everything else is the same.
I go with Sexton.
You think they would? Okay. Well, there you have it.
So my question is not flawed.
That does not mean that they would.
So boxer Ryan Garcia, I don't know if you guys heard this, but he beat Devin Haney in a boxing match over the weekend, and it's being reported that Ryan Garcia bet $2 million on himself to win the fight. The reported cash out of this is $12 million. Now, you may think this is illegal.
But no, it's not.
Apparently, fighters can bet on themselves to win, so this is not against the rules, apparently, is what I'm reading. So, Chris, with that being said, should players in any sport be able to bet on their own positive outcomes?
No, no, and no.
Positive outcomes.
No,
like Shohei Ohtani bets on himself to hit a home run.
No, no. We're already dancing with the devil. And to me, this is one of the reasons why, you know, boxing has to be careful, too. You know, I just think you're headed down a very, very slippery slope here. So, you know, boxing's an individual sport. So, you know, it's one-on-one. There's no other people affected here. I mean, you're asking me, should Scottie Scheffler be able to bet on himself to win the PGA tournament?
Good example.
You know, I just don't think it's the way, you know, I think anything gambling related is not, we don't want to increase things that we can do with gambling. I think we want to start decreasing. So I'm going to be the bearer of bad news here and say, no, I don't like this idea, even though, you know, seemingly nothing can go wrong. Always something goes wrong when it comes to gambling.
Tony, should players of any sport be able to bet on their own positive outcomes?
No. I think overall, no. But I do think boxing is a little bit different. Unfortunately, boxing has always been, you know, involved with gambling back in the, 30s, 40s, 50s. The mob may or may not have been involved.
Tony, you had to say the may have not.
involved.
In case somebody from the mob is listening.
I'm just saying, they may or may not have been involved with a lot of fights. But, you know, I think as long as you're not taking a dive, you're not like putting $2 million on yourself to lose, you know, I don't think you can actually take advantage of that system at all. But it's a one-on-one sport, as well as Chris said. But the rest of them, no. It's just, there's just too much, you know, there's just too much going on. And because you would say the rest of them, no, you kind of have to say all of them, no. So, I'm going to go with Chris on this. All of them, no sport should be allowed to have guys betting on themselves, even if it is for the positive.
I mean, after all, Pete Rose, for all we know, you know, and the only thing that was proven, as manager of the Reds, bet on the Reds to win. He's still no longer a part of baseball because he did that.
The only thing I have with this is, how do we know that they aren't in on this together and one guy wins? I guess because maybe Devin Haney doesn't want to go down as being beaten.
He doesn't want to, but he could have cashed in about $2 or $3 million himself. That's a good point, Scrib. Your mind is working in mysterious ways.
And that is the problem. Therein lies the problem, right? Is that it just opens up the door for us to think however we think at this point.
I'm 40-1 to hit a home run. You groove me one fastball, I'll give you $1 million. You know, I doubt that's going to happen, but
it
why even
could.
Make it a possibility?
Yeah.
Some of these relievers
I won't be surprised if that rumor starts to take a hold on the craziness of social media, that Devin Haney took a dive.
That's right,
and
to
got,
make $6 million.
$6 million out of the 20, whatever it was.
I'm already like kind of confused about this fight to begin with.
That's the other thing. What's because you don't follow boxing?
No, because they did it off the books. It wasn't a title fight because Ryan Garcia didn't weigh in correctly. He was over the weight. I didn't know.
He still bet on it.
That's not anything new. That's just kind of.
I didn't know. That's the other thing.
That's the other thing, though. Like, you start to have these issues pop up, your sport loses credibility, right? You can no longer think, oh, it's about nobody. Guys, these guys want the glory, right? They don't want to look bad. They want to win these games. But now you throw the gambling element into it. Now everybody's like, well, some people do like money more than they like winning. So it's just, I don't know. It's Chris said, it's a dangerous slope.
It is.
Number 3.
And with people thinking along your mischievous lines.
That was the first thing I thought.
Well, then that, you know, if you thought of it, no doubt some gambler somewhere
has thought
of it.
You know where I got this story from? The guy at 7-Eleven, we were talking about betting, and he brought this up, and I was like, I'm going to use this.
Were you
today.
Holding up the line behind you?
No, there was no one behind me. There was no one behind me. I wouldn't have ever had that discussion
can't
with
people behind
stand people
me. Having a discussion with the 7-Eleven cashier.
I'm with you.
I don't have time for this.
He's a very nice guy, and
I'm
we
sure
know
he
each
is,
other, okay?
But the guy behind you has somewhere to go.
The guy behind me was fine. He was still perusing. Mike Trout is trying his best to help the Angels win, but his manager, Ron Washington, had some words for him. With the bases loaded and a shaky closer, according to the article I read on the mound, Mike Trout stepped in the box with a chance to swing the fortunes of the Angels to a win. Unfortunately, the Angels superstar went down looking at the hands of Craig Kimbrell of the Orioles. Trout saw four pitches and never took the bat off of his shoulder. Angels skipper Ron Washington said, quote, bases loaded and the opportunity to at least tie? You've just got to swing the bat, end quote. Tony, do you think Ron Washington is pushing the right buttons here?
I don't know if he's pushing the right buttons, but he's speaking the truth. I mean, bases loaded, this is a team that, I mean... I think if I'm not mistaken, Anthony Rendon is hurt. Right?
Yes, again. Yeah.
So they are largely dependent on him. And, you know, four pitches and you don't even get one swing off your throat. And I assume this was pretty late in the game.
It's to end the game.
Ninth inning. Oh, yeah. Even more. Once you get two strikes on you, you got to at least protect. You can't go down looking.
Yeah.
In that particular case, to answer your question, yeah, Ron Washington is spot on, and it's maybe something that is beneficial to the team. Mike Trout can get it. It's not just Joe Adell running past the second base and not sliding. Our best player, if he's not doing what he needs to do, I'm sure enough gonna let it be known.
I don't know anything about Mike Trout, but what kind of guy? I mean, do you know anything, Tony? Like, is he a guy? Have you ever met him? Talked to him a little bit?
I think he has some humility to know. I think he's going to take this, and it will. It's not like I'm saying it's going to like spark him, like lock in, but he'll know where it's coming from. I think based on what I know of him.
Chris,
yes, this is all just further proof of my notion that Mike Trout truly isn't the greatest player in the history of baseball. I've been arguing against him forever, and all he ever does is hit 45 home runs and steal 45 bases every year. But keep in mind that at the very end of the World Baseball Classic, he did strike out against Shohei Ohtani. But that's neither here nor there. I think this is a message Ron Washington was trying to give to the rest of his team as much as he was trying to give it to Mike Trout directly, which is, when we're in a position to win a ball game, we got to have a better at bat there. And hopefully Mike Trout, takes it the right way, and I think he will.
It's the difference, just think about where the Angels have been. Those are the type of differences that, change you from being where you are to taking strides to be that team, that better team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He swings a bat. It doesn't mean he's going to get a hit, but I mean, I think most people in that building probably would have much rather see him swing the bat and make it out than to not even take the bat off his shoulder.
Sounds like another superstar in the American League.
Don't get me started. I'm in a very good mood today.
Okay, quickly move on. Cormani McClain, a five-star recruit to Colorado last year, is leaving Deion Sanders' program and throwing some shots on his way out. McClain was the top-ranked cornerback in this past year's high school class who entered the transfer portal to find a new home, and he posted a video on YouTube on Saturday where he discussed the Buffalo's program under Sanders. Now, it's a long video, so if you really want to watch it, you can just Google his name, Cormani McClain, and you'll find it. But he said this, quote, I feel like I just don't want to play for clicks. I actually want to be involved with a great leading program that's going to develop players, end quote. And that video is titled Next Step if you want to go watch it. Chris, do you think this is a message Coach Prime should listen to?
I don't know if it is or not, but I will tell you I doubt Deion will listen. Deion's running a show over there that I think is going to eventually be really successful. He's just got to get a bunch of people that all buy into what he's selling. And once he finds that, You know, I think he's going to win, you know, more games than he's going to lose. I think we saw a glimpse of what he's capable of last year. You know, it didn't carry out. They didn't have enough talent to see it through. As far as this young man's concerned, you know, I don't know exactly what happened, but, you know, you would think a cornerback would want to play and listen and learn from Deion Sanders. But, you know, he could be right. Maybe Deion Sanders and he just didn't, you know, hit it off. Maybe there was other guys that Deion, you know, thought were better or wanted to spend more time with. So it's probably good for this young man to move on. But I think Deion, you know, he's got to be careful. But I think the certain kind of athlete, he, you know, he'll eventually track more and more of those down. And I think he'll do fine.
Tony, do you think this is a message Coach Prime should listen to?
No, I don't. I think, you know, not every coach, not every player coach relationship works out. And, you know, we'll see. I think over time we'll know about, what's his name? McLean? His last name is McLean. What's his first name?
His name is Cormani.
Cormani. We'll learn. He's going to transfer to a school and we'll find out, like, if he's on the field. If he's on the field and, you know, able to take care of business the way he's supposed to, and he's playing, and he turns out, okay, then he might have a point that, you know, maybe that wasn't for the program for him. My gut, though, tells me that he's got some maturing to do based on, you know, some of the things that I've read.
Oh.
And that, you know, maybe the discipline part of the program was, you know, not of his liking. So
we'll
see. A lot
of five-star recruits automatically think that they should be getting special treatment. I'm not saying that happened in this case, but I'm assuming that Deion wasn't giving him special treatment, and that's probably something he wasn't fond of.
He came in as a five-star recruit. He did start the year right. I think he was not even dressed for something, but then he had that really good game, like middle of the season, and it looked like he was starting to figure things out, and then the news of this comes out, so we'll see. I think over time we'll know, as Chris said, where Deion and his program is, and, you know, where this young man ends up, how he ends up doing at the next program he's at.
All right, I'm not going to take a shot at
Deion. I don't want to go into further too much.
That's what you were trying to get us to do. Anyway.
Oh, no, I knew you guys were going to say exactly what you guys said. I knew that.
Well, I don't want to get into too much further on this, but this is exactly what we're talking about in terms of these kids transferring and having the ability to transfer at the first sign of any trouble.
Right.
And I think that that is not necessarily, in general, I don't know that's happened with this kid, but in general, it's not a great thing. As Tony said before, he would advise his own daughters, you know, to stick with it, tough it out, you know, be able to battle through some things that don't go your way. But too often kids are just having one hiccup along the way and they're off for greener pastures. And I don't know that that's great for the kids themselves.
The kids.
Number one.
The NBA is looking into an incident that took place after the Nuggets game to win over the Lakers last night. And it reportedly... Why are you laughing?
Because I read about this
morning. Oh, and it reportedly involved Nikola Jokic's brothers, per The Athletic. A video on social media shows an altercation where a man wearing a Jokic jersey, reported to be one of the two-time MVP's older brothers,
who are big as hell, by
the way. Oh my goodness, these guys are monsters. And they look like they're scary. They're like the last people I would ever want to mess with in my entire life. Strahinja Jokic, in the video, punches another man, allegedly. Allegedly, Strahinja Jokic punches another man in the face while in the stands. If that is confirmed that he is in the video, it wouldn't be the first time he's been involved in physical altercations. And honestly, it's not good. In 2019, he was arrested for allegedly choking and pushing a woman while the two were inside a Denver apartment. He was later charged with second-degree assault. Tony, should Nikola let his bros know they need to stay at home?
Well, you know, given how big they are, I don't know. I think they're all older.
They may not listen
all
to them
older.
Either.
They might be the only people who can stop Jokic, by the way.
Goodness, they're so big.
They're so big. Both of them. He has two brothers that are like the
massive.
Exact same size.
Yeah, they're WWE wrestlers.
I don't know that. I mean, I think he needs to tell his brothers to chill out. But, you know, I don't know that they're gonna listen to Jokic all that much. So maybe they just have to be banned from going to this next game, if they punch somebody in the face, they will be going to Staples. I mean, he's punching people in their home arena. So what's going to happen when he goes to Los Angeles?
Good point. Very, very good point. Chris, I'm just showing a picture of his brothers. They are very large and...
Yeah, so they're boisterous.
They're boisterous is a good word to put.
Well, you know, I can't speak to this this incident because the video is a little bit sketchy, although it does appear to show that he's involved in an altercation. You know, all I'm saying is the Denver Nuggets right now are, you know, doing great things on the court. Their relatives are not doing great things off the court. Michael Porter Jr.'s relatives.
Right. Brother.
Brothers. Two of them. I mean, one's out of the league. The other one got arrested for gambling. Yeah. One's for gambling and one got arrested for something else. Yeah, I think Michael
reckless
Porter.
Reckless driving.
Reckless driving. Thank you. I think he was involved in a death of somebody. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know that this has anything to do with Jokic. I think he talks to his brothers and asks them to try to calm down or... You know, at the very least, get them a suite to sit in.
Yeah,
you know, he's got the money. I mean, he's got
what if they want?
He should have the pull.
Well,
yeah, well, tell them no. You guys can't until you show you can behave yourself. I'm sticking you in a suite.
Hey, listen to that. Let me tell you guys. You know that.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one. The only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. I gotta say, guys, we gotta go a little bit quicker in today's Big Five, but those were some great answers yesterday.
Scraby almost had to play the. He almost had to play the second part of it on the pregame show yesterday.
Usually I'm very good at watching the timer. I wasn't watching the timer because I was so enjoying the conversation.
Yes.
And then I look back and it was like, hey, you just did that segment in a quick 26 minutes.
Well, hey, you know, so, Sam Levitt's pregame show has to wait. Minutes. That's all. Yeah.
All right. I get it. Let's just not go 26 minutes today.
Number five.
I know I'm the guy who's ruining all the fun.
Start talking already.
Oh, you're right. I am wasting time. What am I doing? Can we just take a second real quick, though, to say that Dylan Cease is pretty awesome? Because he's pretty awesome.
Well, I think we've mentioned that a few times today, but okay, we can take another second if you'd like.
Okay, thank you. He proved that last night in more ways than one in Denver. The right-hander delivered his fourth straight start of six innings or more and two runs or fewer. And last night he featured seven innings of one-hit ball, no walks and eight strikeouts, and it was actually historic. No one had ever pitched that many innings with one or no hits and no walks at Coors Field, so that's a cool little feat to have for him. Tony, is Dylan Cease hands down the number one pitcher for the Padres?
Hands down right now, yeah. I'd say yeah right now. I don't know if it's hands down, though, because Michael King's been pretty good, too, but I would still give the nod to Dylan Cease. Right now, he's pitching the best of the five starters, and that's a pretty simple one.
All right, Chris.
Well, he's number one in terms of what he's doing, but I'll ask you this in return: if the National League playoffs were going to start tomorrow, who would the Padres use? They would use Yu Darvish. Oh. I mean, based on the fact that he's still their, you know, their ace. So I'm not sure what you're asking. If you're asking if he's the best pitcher, he's been the best for certain. But if he's the new number one slotted guy in the rotation, I don't think he's quite earned that yet in just April.
I should have thought ahead to you completely ripping
apart. Thinking through your question?
I should have thought ahead to that.
My apologies for trying to
very
put some
literally.
Trying to put some thought into it.
Okay. All right. I wasn't going to ask whether or not he's like the number one.
Well, I didn't know what you meant.
Now.
I honestly didn't know which you were going for.
Because when you said who would you have start a playoff game today, I think I'm having Dylan Cease start that game.
Yeah, I don't think they would. Tony, what do you think? I mean, if everybody was healthy and it was, you know, start of a new series.
And they were all pitching the way they're pitching.
Same exact stuff.
Yeah, everything else is the same.
I would say they might go with Cease.
You think they would? Okay. Well, there you have it.
So my question is not flawed.
It does not mean that they would.
So boxer Ryan Garcia, I don't know if you guys heard this, but he beat Devin Haney in a boxing match over the weekend, and it's being reported that Ryan Garcia bet $2 million on himself to win the fight. The reported cash out of this is $12 million. Now, you may think this is illegal. But
no, it's not.
Apparently, fighters can bet on themselves to win, so this is not against the rules, apparently, is what I'm reading. So, Chris, with that being said, should players in any sport be able to bet on their own positive outcomes?
No, no, and no.
Positive outcomes.
No,
like Shohei Ohtani bets on himself to hit a home run.
No, no. We're already dancing with the devil. And to me, this is one of the reasons why, you know, boxing has to be careful, too. You're headed down a very, very slippery slope here. So, you know, boxing's an individual sport. So, you know, it's one-on-one. There's no other people affected here. I mean, you're asking me, should Scottie Scheffler be able to bet on himself to win the PGA tournament?
Good example.
You know, I just don't think it's the way. You know, I think anything gambling related is not. We don't want to increase things that we can do with gambling. I think we want to start decreasing. So I'm going to be the bearer of bad news here and say, no, I don't like this idea, even though, you know, seemingly nothing can go wrong. Always something goes wrong when it comes to gambling.
Tony, should players of any sport be able to bet on their own positive outcomes?
No. I think overall, no. But I do think boxing is a little bit different. Unfortunately, boxing has always been, you know, involved with gambling back in the, 30s, 40s, 50s. The mob may or may not have been involved.
Tony, you had to say the may have not.
involved.
In case somebody from the mob is listening.
I'm just saying, they may or may not have been involved with a lot of fights. But, you know, I think as long as you're not taking a dive, you're not like putting $2 million on yourself to lose, you know, I don't think you can actually take advantage of that system at all. But it's a one-on-one sport as well, as Chris said. But the rest of them, no. It's just, there's just too much, you know, there's just too much going on. And because you would say the rest of them, no, you kind of have to say all of them, no. So, I'm going to go with Chris on this. All of them, no sport should be allowed to have guys betting on themselves, even if it is for the positive.
I mean, after all, Pete Rose, for all we know, you know, and the only thing that was proven, as manager of the Reds, bet on the Reds to win. He's still no longer a part of baseball because he did that.
The only thing I have with this is, how do we know that they aren't in on this together and one guy wins? I guess because maybe Devin Haney doesn't want to go down as being beaten.
He doesn't want to, but he could have cashed in about $2 or $3 million himself. That's a good point, Scrib. Your mind is working in mysterious ways.
And that is the problem. Therein lies the problem, right? Is that it just opens up the door for us to think however we think at this point.
I'm 40-1 to hit a home run. You groove me one fastball, I'll give you $1 million. You know, I doubt that's going to happen, but
it
why even
could.
Make it a possibility?
Yeah.
Some of these relievers
I won't be surprised if that rumor starts to take a hold on the craziness of social media, that Devin Haney took a dive.
That's right,
and
to
got,
make $6 million.
Paid $6 million out of the 20, whatever it was.
I'm already like kind of confused about this fight to begin with.
That's the other thing. What's because you don't follow boxing?
No, because they did it off the books. It wasn't a title fight because Ryan Garcia didn't weigh in correctly. He was over the weight. I didn't know. Okay.
You still bet on it.
That's not anything new. That's just kind of.
I didn't know. That's the other thing.
That's the other thing, though. Like, you start to have these issues pop up, your sport loses credibility, right? You can no longer think, oh, it's about nobody. Guys, these guys want the glory, right? They don't want to look bad. They want to win these games. But now you throw the gambling element into it. Now everybody's like, well, some people do like money more than they like winning. So it's just, I don't know. It's Chris said, it's a dangerous, dangerous slope.
It is.
3.
And with people thinking along your mischievous lines.
That was the first thing I thought.
Well, then that, you know, if you thought of it, no doubt some gambler somewhere
has
thought
of it. You know where I got this story from? The guy at 7-Eleven, we were talking about betting, and he brought this up, and I was like, I'm going to use this.
Were you
today.
Holding up the line behind you?
No, there was no one discussion? Behind me. There was no one behind me. I wouldn't have ever had that discussion
can't
with
people stand
people me.
Having a discussion with the 7-Eleven cashier.
I'm with you.
I don't have time for this.
He's a very nice guy, and
I'm
we
sure
know
he
each
is.
Other, okay?
But the guy
take,
behind
take
you has
time.
Somewhere to go.
The guy behind me was fine. He was still perusing. Mike Trout is trying his best to help the Angels win, but his manager, Ron Washington, had some words for him. With the bases loaded and a shaky closer, according to the article I read on the mound, Mike Trout stepped in the box with a chance to swing the fortunes of the Angels to a win. Unfortunately, the Angels superstar went down looking at the hands of Craig Kimbrell of the Orioles. Trout saw four pitches and never took the bat off of his shoulder. Angels skipper Ron Washington said, quote, bases loaded and the opportunity to at least tie? You've just got to swing the bat, end quote. Tony, do you think Ron Washington is pushing the right buttons here?
I don't know if he's pushing the right buttons, but he's speaking the truth. I mean, bases loaded, this is a team that, I mean... Anthony Rendon is hurt. Right?
Yes, again. Yeah.
So they are largely dependent on him. And, you know, four pitches and you don't even get one swing off your throat. And I assume this was pretty late in the game.
It's to end the game.
Ninth inning. Oh, it's even more. Once you get two strikes on you, you got to at least protect. You can't go down looking.
Yeah.
In that particular case. To answer your question, Ron Washington is spot on. And it's maybe something that is beneficial to the team. Mike Trout can get it. It's not just Joe Adell running past the second base and not sliding. Our best player, if he's not doing what he needs to do, I'm sure enough going to let it be known.
I don't know anything about Mike Trout, but what kind of guy, I mean, do you know anything, Tony? Like, is he a guy, have you ever met him, talked to him a little bit?
I think he has some humility to know. I think he's going to take this and it will, it's not like I'm saying it's going to like spark him, like lock in, but he'll know where it's coming from, I think, based on what I know of him.
Chris.
Yes, this is all just further proof of my notion that Mike Trout truly isn't the greatest player in the history of baseball. I've been arguing against him forever, and all he ever does is hit 45 home runs and steal 45 bases every year. But keep in mind that at the very end of the World Baseball Classic, he did strike out against Shohei Ohtani. But that's neither here nor there. I think this is a message Ron Washington was trying to give to the rest of his team as much as he was trying to give it to Mike Trout directly, which is, when we're in a position to win a ball game, we got to have a better at bat there. And hopefully Mike Trout, takes it the right way, and I think he will.
It's the difference, just think about where the Angels have been. Those are the type of differences that, change you from being where you are to taking strides to be that team, that better team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
He swings a bat. It doesn't mean he's going to get a hit, but, I think most people in that building probably would have much rather see him swing the bat and make it out than to not even take the bat off his shoulder.
Sounds like another superstar in the American League.
Don't get me started. I'm in a very good mood today.
Okay. Let's quickly move on. Cormani McClain, a five-star recruit to Colorado last year, is leaving Deion Sanders' program and throwing some shots on his way out. McClain was the top-ranked cornerback in this past year's high school class who entered the transfer portal to find a new home, and he posted a video on YouTube on Saturday where he discussed the Buffalo's program under Sanders. Now, it's a long video, so if you really want to watch it, you can just Google his name, Cormani McClain, and you'll find it. But he said this, quote, I feel like I just don't want to play for clicks. I actually want to be involved with a great leading program that's going to develop players, end quote. And that video is titled Next Step if you want to go watch it. Chris, do you think this is a message Coach Prime should listen to?
I don't know if it is or not, but I will tell you I doubt Deion will listen. Deion's running a show over there that I think is going to eventually be really successful. He's just got to get a bunch of people that all buy into what he's selling. And once he finds that, You know, I think he's going to win, you know, more games than he's going to lose. I think we saw a glimpse of what he's capable of last year. You know, it didn't carry out. They didn't have enough talent to see it through. As far as this young man's concerned, you know, I don't know exactly what happened, but, you know, you would think a cornerback would want to play and listen and learn from Deion Sanders. But, you know, he could be right. Maybe Deion Sanders and he just didn't, you know, hit it off. Maybe there was other guys that Deion, you know, thought were better or wanted to spend more time with. So it's probably good for this young man to move on. But I think Deion, you know, he's got to be careful. But I think the certain kind of athlete, he, you know, he'll eventually track more and more of those down. And I think he'll do fine.
Tony, do you think this is a message Coach Prime should listen to?
No, I don't. I think, you know, not every coach, not every player coach relationship works out. And, you know, we'll see. I think over time we'll know about, what's his name? McLean? His last name is McLean. What's his first name?
His name is Cormani.
Cormani. We'll learn. He's going to transfer to a school and we'll find out, like, if he's on the field. If he's on the field and, you know, able to take care of business the way he's supposed to, and he's playing, and he turns out, okay, then he might have a point that, you know, maybe that wasn't for the program for him. My gut, though, tells me that he's got some maturing to do based on, you know, some of the things that I've read.
Oh.
And that, you know, maybe the discipline part of the program was, you know, not of his liking. So we'll see.
A lot of five-star recruits automatically think that they should be getting special treatment. I'm not saying that happened in this case, but I'm assuming that Deion wasn't giving him special treatment, and that's probably something he wasn't fond of.
He came in as a five-star recruit. He did start the year right. I think he was not even dressed for some, but then he had that really good game, like middle of the season, and it looked like he was starting to figure things out, and then the news of this comes out, so we'll see. I think over time we'll know, as Chris said, where Deion and his program is, and, you know, where this young man ends up, how he ends up doing at the next program he's at.
All right, I'm not going to take a shot at Deion.
I don't want to go into further too much.
That's what you were trying to get us to do.
Oh, anyway. No, I knew you guys were going to say exactly what you guys said. I knew that.
Well, I don't want to get into too much further on this, but this is exactly what we're talking about in terms of these kids transferring and having the ability to transfer at the first sign of any trouble.
Right.
And I think that is not necessarily, in general, I don't know that's happened with this kid, but in general, it's not a great thing. As Tony said before, he would advise his own daughters, you know, to stick with it, tough it out, you know, be able to battle through some things that don't go your way. But too often kids are just having one hiccup along the way and they're off for greener pastures. And I don't know that that's great for the kids themselves.
The kids.
Number one.
The NBA is looking into an incident that took place after the Nuggets game to win over the Lakers last night. And it reportedly... Why are you laughing?
Because I read about this
morning. Oh, and it reportedly involved Nikola Jokic's brothers, per The Athletic. A video on social media shows an altercation where a man wearing a Jokic jersey, reported to be one of the two-time MVP's older brothers,
who are big as hell,
by the way. Oh my goodness, these guys are monsters. And they look like they're scary. They're like the last people I would ever want to mess with in my entire life. Strahinja Jokic, in the video, punches another man, allegedly, in... Let me start that over. Allegedly, Strahinja Jokic punches another man in the face while in the stands. If that is confirmed that he is in the video, it wouldn't be the first time he's been involved in physical altercations. And honestly, it's not good. In 2019, he was arrested for allegedly choking and pushing a woman while the two were inside a Denver apartment. He was later charged with second-degree assault. Tony, should Nikola let his bros know they need to stay at home?
Well, you know, given how big they are, I don't know. I think they're all older.
They may not listen to them either.
They might be the only people who can stop Jokic, by the way.
Goodness, they're so big.
They're so big. Both of them. He has two brothers that are like the
massive.
Exact same size.
Yeah, they're WWE wrestlers.
I don't know that. I mean, I think he needs to tell his brothers to chill out. But, you know, I don't know that they're gonna listen to Jokic all that much. So maybe they just have to be banned from going to this next game, if they punch somebody in the face, they will be going to Staples. I mean, he's punching people in their home arena. So what's going to happen when he goes to Los Angeles?
Good point. Very, very good point. Chris, I'm just showing a picture of his brothers. They are very large and
yeah, so they're boisterous.
They're boisterous is a good word to put.
Well, you know, I can't speak to this this you know incident because the video is a little bit sketchy, although it does appear to show that he's involved in an altercation. You know, all I'm saying is the Denver Nuggets right now are, you know, doing great things on the court. Their relatives are not doing great things off the court. Michael Porter Jr.'s relatives,
right. brothers,
two of them. I mean, one's out of the league. The other one got arrested for gambling. Yeah. One's for gambling, and one got arrested for something else. Yeah, I think Michael
reckless
Porter
driving.
Reckless driving. Thank you. I think he was involved in a death of somebody. Yeah. Anyway, I don't know that this has anything to do with Jokic. I think he talks to his brothers and asks them to try to calm down or. You know, at the very least, get them a suite to sit in.
Yeah,
you know, he's
man,
got the money. I mean, he's got
what if they want?
He should have the pull.
Well,
yeah, well, tell him no. You guys can't until you show you can behave yourself on sticking you in a suite.
Hey, listen to him. Let me tell you guys.
You know, that's it.
When the Padres played at Qualcomm, they had the dugout seats were like right behind. You could kind of see them on TV. And that was like the one rule. My dad was like, if you guys act up back there and I see you guys acting like idiots, you will never sit down there again. I don't care who it is. I don't care who you have with you.
No, that's a great call.
You are a representative of me. And so don't go in there acting like an idiot. Just act like you would treat your home the same way you treat this place. And so I knew that even when that camera was only on from the pitcher throwing it to the catcher, I was on notice.
Good job by Tony Senior.
That is good.
And you know, that's the same thing Jokic can do. I mean, you get stuff I'm putting in a suite. And you sit up there and watch the game.
Punishing you guys. I'm sending you up to the suite.
Yeah, this is really a punishment. I mean, come on. You have to watch the game from a suite.
But Nicola, we want to be on the court.
Yeah, no. Answer, no.
You going to tell me no?
Yes, I'm going to tell you no.
I almost turned into the Hulk there for a second.
Yes, you scared me.
All right, that is it for the Big Five. When we get back, your chance to win a qualification for a trip to Las Vegas. If you beat Chris and Chris versus the fans, 833-288-0973. Call now.